All right, discussion action, approval of minutes for April 2nd. Mark.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Once again, Mark Joseph Phillips for the record. April 2nd, 2013, discussion before the, this is agenda item number 5. We're discussing the approval of the minutes for 2nd of April, 2013. I'd like the minutes to reflect that this this approval of the minutes was put on the agenda at my request. I was assured that I was the first one to ask for it. I waited weeks, months to have this put on the agenda, and I guess I had to ask for it. I'd like to read this letter into the record regarding today's minutes. Dear Chairman Schovinger, the draft minutes of the Board of County Commission meeting, 2nd of April, 2013, failed to indicate that I was willfully disrupting the meeting to the intent that its orderly conduct was made impractical, that I was legally removed. Instead, I was wrongfully excluded from the remainder of the meeting against my will. You have been informed my plans to give public comment to items later on the agenda. Mr. Chairman, I was wrongfully excluded from the meeting because of the content of my public comment I had prepared to make, which is it's a criminal misdemeanor, NRS 241-0040.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Any other changes for the minutes? Janet, come on up.
My name is Janet Houts. Thank you for letting me to speak on the minutes. As I just reviewed today's morning on the minutes, which you all just published on late in the afternoon of Friday. So I didn't have the able to finish completing reading the minutes because I was looking at the agendas for today's meeting. I found that in my comment when I commented about the comparison between the fires and the sheriff, that the budget was $2 million for the sheriff versus the $4 million in the minutes. It does not state anything at all. So that is, I just wanted to to correct these minutes on that basis.
All right, you take that up with the clerk after.
Thank you.
Any other changes for the minutes? All right. I have a motion.
It's time, Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the minutes for April the 2nd, 2013.
Okay. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda. Any changes on the consent agenda? Anything you need to look at? Consent agenda. Motion to approve then.
Move for approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item number 8, committee and staff reports. Let's start with Yvonne. Come on up. I think you have a little something for us. Got any staff out here?
Good afternoon to the Story County Commissions and the citizens of Story County. My name is Yvonne Murphy. May I take this opportunity to thank the Commission and the citizens of Story County for allowing me to serve as your legislative lobbyist from January of 2009 until August of 2012. Over that period of time, I had the pleasure and the honor of working with some very devoted people in this county, all of whom were exceptional in their duties, support, and assistance. Additionally, I was pleasantly surprised as I developed several friendships with both individuals and families, giving myself a much deeper meaning and insight for the connection to this county and the work that I do. All of you I hold very dear to my heart, and I will treasure these friendships for years to come. That said, during this past legislative session, though I no longer officially represent Story County, as a friend to the county, I continue to monitor issues that could impact this county, which of course is very unique and very special. And for the record, I report my observations to my client, who happens to also be your commissioner, Lance Gilman. In closing, as I venture forward into my life and career, I look forward to teaching and attending John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, where I'll study 21st century public policy. To that end, I'd like to leave you with this quote. I don't know where your destiny will be, but the one thing I know is the only one amongst you who will ever be truly happy are those of you who master the art of service. And for the record, I have a positive, engaging, growing, beautiful relationship with this county, the people in this county, the residents and the officials, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Well, Yvonne, thank you so much. It's been very nice working with you.
Thanks for your service for Story County.
Yes, sir.
Glad
to
have you.
Yvonne,
we've had you.
You've worked together for many years.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Whoa, did you have something for us today? You're,
basically, I'm standing in the gym. She's trying to have a team from the field for a photo that we can show in that space.
Roe Martignoni, Deputy Recorder with the Recorder's Office. And basically, I think we're all happy legislature is over. We are pleased to announce our one bill that we were hoping to pass was on a redaction. And there was an original bill in 2007, one of the primary reasons I was hired, that required redaction of Social Security numbers and personal information from all our records back to the inception of Social Security. Needless to say, that's a bit burdensome, so we've got a legislative agreement and bill passed to give counties a bit more time to get this accomplished. So there were some other legislative stuff that obviously I'm not going to go into, but all in all, the Recorder's Office is doing wonderful. We're totally pleased with Marnie Hansen, our newest member. She's doing great and covering the shop for us today. So, and business is picking up, so I think that's an indicator that our economy might be picking up. I'm glad to report we're seeing less notice of defaults and more deeds. But yeah, so I just want to say life is good. Thank you.
I was glad to see that redaction bill pass.
Yes.
Why didn't Roosevelt think of that when he invented Social Security numbers? Anyway, huh? Okay, Denny?
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Just a couple of quick things. First of all, I want to thank the department heads and the businesses that sent employees to our little fam we had last week. We had over 60 folks come on two different tours in the morning and the afternoon to get to know a little bit about what we're selling here in Virginia City. I myself went on it in the afternoon and I learned quite a bit. I mean, we are selling it. We should know what we have here. And I was pretty impressed. And I want to say thanks to the venues that had us, that hosted us as well. We had some great tours. Second of all, 4th of July, coming up in a couple weeks. Big fireworks show. Comstock Cowboys will be singing in the Delta lot, Wine Walk, and we also have a competition fast draw up on the south end of town across from the 4th Ward School. So something a little bit different. And I think that that's about it. Oh, and then, other than some positive numbers that we got for the month of March, we've been doing, I guess, a decent job here in town. The numbers are reflecting that with about a $10,000 bump to a year ago in room tax and quarter cent sales tax that came right back in as a result of it's probably a special event or two in March. So I think we're doing okay right there. So hopefully we'll trend that way. I know business has been strong, and we don't have any special events this weekend or next. We're gearing up for 4th of July, but the way this last weekend was, we probably didn't need it. So it's a good thing. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say I think those fam tours worked out quite well, and not only the one you did around town here, but the ones that we did up at TRI, because I know a lot of folks haven't ever seen a lot of their county. Oh, Jennifer, you got something? Nothing? Austin? How did I know Austin would have something?
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. Austin Osborne for the record. I just want to bring your attention a few things. I appreciate you continuing item number 11 with the Conestoga chapter of the American AFSCME Union. I just want to make it clear in there that the union and I, as we've been working up to this point, we are in agreeance. We are right there at the final stages of approval. There's no impasse or anything like that. It's just that the union and I both agree that we'd like to just look over the contract one more time just to fix the semicolons and the commas and just make sure everything is completely grammatically correct. So thank you for doing that, and I also want to send a thanks to that union and its membership for being really cooperative and very enjoyable to work with throughout this season. I just want to update you. I received 9 applications for a planner to work with me here in the county, and all of them so far look really good. They're qualified. They're coming from everything right out of college all the way up to many years of experience. Some of them are local, some of them are regional, and some of them are from other parts of the country. So I've done, as you've seen, a posting across the state as well as in other parts of the United States to try to get the best qualified person. And so far, I think we'll have a good time looking over these applicants and getting that. And then lastly, there's some more research I need to do into this, but with planning regard, the SB 275 or 375 or 374, let me try that, which would amend NRS 453A with medical marijuana dispensaries, hasn't been approved by the governor. And there's going to be some things that the county will probably need to look at with regard to zoning on that. The bill requires that these are allowed, or not doesn't require, but allows them to be allowed in a commercial zone or an I zone of a county. But the county still has leverage and it still has the ability to manage its county at the local level and create its own regulation for these uses. The way it's set up now, as I read the bill, as a county with 700,000 or more people would have 40 of these certificates from the state allowed, and then Carson City, I believe, is 2, and Washoe County, I believe, is 10, and Story County and the other rurals would have 1. So you could potentially have 1 of these dispensaries or a cultivator come to the county for an application. The way our zoning is set up right now, there is explicit language in that zoning to prohibit any type of an operation that uses marijuana or illegal drugs or illicit drugs and paraphernalia related thereto. So we are covered there, but we probably need to look at what may end up coming across my desk one day for either a dispensary here in town or something out at the industrial park with whatever scale that might be. So there's a lot to this bill. It deals with the sizes and the types of dispensaries, the sizes and types of cultivators, how the whole thing is structured, and I'm prepared to bring this commission more information down the road as I look at this bill a little bit closer and make sure that what I know is correct, and then also look at our zoning or other codes and see how we deal with this particular new law. And that's it. Appreciate it. Thank you.
I have my business license application for the head frame head shop filled out here. Would you like that?
Great. And I'd like to make a record that Plot Plot restaurant out there in the
sounds like a great business opportunity, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Mike.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, members of the audience. Mike Nevin, for the record, Public Works Director. To start with, got a list of items here. I'll try to be brief, though, on each one of them. The Louise Perry Park improvements are pretty much complete. We're awaiting NV Energy on their decision for the streetlight placement across the street from the park. I'm working with Austin in the HR department on the job description and the announcement for the seasonal maintenance position for that park in Lockwood. So more to come on that. We're hoping to fill that relatively soon, shortly after the first part of July. At this time, too, I see they're both in the audience. I'd like to take the opportunity to personally thank Merrill Lee and John Miller for all they have done down there on a volunteer basis with assistance, opening, closing, keeping an eye on things. Real important. Thank you so much. Our local pool here opened for the season on June 8th. We had some challenges with some broken plumbing down there, but got it all resolved, and it's up and open. Our handicap restroom and lift project is about 99% complete. We had a walkthrough on Friday. Sherry and Mike from Miles Construction are doing the final accounting for the grant and match funds. And then the determination will be made if there's anything remaining for the purchase of the portable lift, which is an important part of that project. So as you recall, we originally applied for $152,000 in community development block grant funding. We provided a $20,000 match. The grant request got shaved by $20,000, so, you know, they didn't leave a whole lot to work with, and that was a prevailing wage project. So, you know, as you can imagine, the labor costs were substantial on it. But anyway, like I said, we're moving forward. Public Works has been involved with the St. Mary's Art Center. We had a request from their board and their new director to assist with some improvements to the driveway and parking lot. And we're probably about 75% complete with that project. We had to move off it, and that moves me into the next topic of discussion. On June 10th, we were hit pretty hard and heavy in a couple areas of the county with a severe thunderstorm, flash flood, to the extent that we've never seen, at least in recent years. It probably goes back 15, 16 years. But anyway, we had some extensive damage to the lower portions of Six Mile Canyon, not so much to the asphalt, but to the drainage channels and culverts. So we'll be spending some time down there. When we finish up in the industrial park, and we were there all last week, be there the remainder of this week, trying to clean up some areas along Milan and Portofino, specifically in drainage channels and with some rolled shoulder work and hauling off of debris. It was quite the mess. And I want to thank Chief Ames for his assistance in providing us a couple of his dozers and some operators. Thank you, Gary. Worked out well. We're not done, quite done yet, but we hope to have that finished as well this week. let's see here. Just another item of interest here is if you look out the window to the west here, you'll notice a chain link fence up there that's going to go away here about the middle of next month. The State Office of Historic Preservation is providing grant funding for a new solid wood, redwood fence that will be constructed there, so the view into the courtroom will be obscured, so that provides some means of security as well. They allocated about $15,000 towards the project, and we got a pretty good quote from a fencing outfit, Mound House, that they recommended, Tahoe Fence, for $3,500. So Sherry has been in discussion with them to allow us to use the remaining grant funding to start some work on this west wall, repointing and that sort of thing. It's getting to a point where it's could be rendered unsafe. So hopefully that'll move forward. Sherry's been working with them, and once we get the okay, we'll let you know. But that's about where we are. A couple other things that are on your agenda, but we'll address those as they approach. Thank you, unless you guys have any questions.
Did Ireland's people get a hold of you yet about paving on Cartwright?
Yeah, I've had some initial discussions with Pat, and he's here today, Flanagan, and Jim Stewart, relative, and to what they want out there and then what we're going to be able to do. And I want to sit down and have a meeting with them before we develop a scope of work out there to see if they're in agreement to pay for some of the materials that are going to be required. We're basically talking about some approaches on Delta, crack sealing, and then some sort of a sealant over the crack sealing. So, barring any other unforeseen things that happen, we hope to get on that soon as well.
See what breaks between now and then.
Yeah, we had a water incident on C Street this morning that followed us up for the day, so, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Oh, John Merrilee, do you have any updates from the river?
Yes, I do. And I brought pictures from the beach. And this is no reflection on Mike at all. Or the community. But I'm going to pass these to you and let you look at them on down the line. I'm Merrilee Miller, Rainbow Bend. It looks like we have crop circles. We do not have enough water pressure coming out of that tank to get the sprinklers running properly. That yellow part was all grass last year. There's something wrong, so we need to take care of our park.
I was out there just a few weeks ago, and it looked
green. Halfway decent, but look at it now.
Yeah.
So I think you guys need to get a hold of the CGIDs to find out what's going on. Hmm. And then I don't know who's really responsible for the groundskeeping. This is a picture of all the goat heads right by the picnic tables where the kids play. I don't know who's supposed to, I don't think it's Mike. I think it's the school supposed to keep the grass and the grounds neat.
Those are nasty.
And the whole playground is covered with goat heads. Sorry to be the bad news today. Was not my intention when we came up here. Because we really like everything that's been done down there.
All of us were up there just a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't see any.
You can see it's really going down fast. And this is between me and Jason. I go up there and meet Jason on the days he's there.
Pass those back to Mike.
Mike has seen them.
Oh.
Mike has seen them. Well, somebody should keep them.
What I think is going on is I think that probably the GID is that the tank gets to a point where we don't have a lot of head pressure. So I'll get a hold of Midge and see. We don't have the head pressure.
I know.
We don't have the pressure required to properly water.
I think the pressure at this point is sometime in the very low 70s, is what Jason told me. It has to be over 100.
So I'll check with him.
Yeah, we might have to have a zone split or something. And
we'll have to.
I don't know who takes care of it.
Well, this is supposed to be on the schools.
I thought so.
I'll talk with the IBC.
Okay.
We'll have to keep those pictures now that they've been offered.
You can keep them.
Evidence.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And we've been enjoying opening and closing the park. He's going to apply for the job, so let's hope.
Well, I want to commend the commissioners and Pat Whitten and his crew for making it enjoyable for us to go up there and open and lock those gates. For the simple reason is the park is looking like a park. And it's being used, folks. I go up there at 8 o'clock at night. There's families with their kids there playing on the playgrounds. The ballpark is now finished. Pat, you put...
Mike,
I'm sorry. You put the stuff for the playground, sawdust-like stuff. It's beautiful, except for the grounds. And it's not your concern, but we just wanted to bring it up to you. So, myself... I thank you guys.
Okay, Hugh, what have you got? Anything exciting? Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Pete Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. I did this this morning at a department head meeting, and County Manager Whitten thought it may be of interest to some. It has to do with our internal document for the financial statements ended May 31st, 2013. Again, this is unaudited, but it gives us a little bit of an idea of where we are to budget for all of our departments to make sure that from now until the closing, which is in about 12 days, that we don't get surprised about anything, that they use due diligence in their expenditures, that all of our revenues get recorded properly. And so this statement for the end of May reflects a couple of figures that are probably very, very positive in going forward. Our overall budget, this is just for the general though, is about $900,000 more than we anticipated last year. Now that itself is, I think, a very, very good number. Our ad valorem, or property, personal and property taxes, and centrally assessed, was about $214,000 over and above what we had budgeted. Now I think that's a pretty good number, understanding the assessed valuation that we get and all the heartaches we have with cap values and lead abatements and everything else. I think it's a credit to Janice Naden and Toby Whitten for their fine job in getting with me in January, and also Vanessa Dufresne to try and get a number out before taxation is. So consequently, the number that we had before taxation was only about $214,000 less than they came up with. And they've got a lot more time and a lot more stuff to go over than we do. So as far as the ballpark figure, we were in a small ballpark versus a big ballpark, and I think those three ladies should be commended. In addition to that, we had our merchandise licenses was up about 9,000 from where it was before, which means hopefully something's going on. Our special use permits are about 10,000 over and above where it was for our budgeted. We have our sales tax, where we budgeted, where we pretty much took a very conservative look, is about, again, about 8,000 more than where our budget was. Our assessor's fees were about 46,000, which is a very good surprise. So I think a lot of this, this is an indication that something's moving. Businesses are trying to start going. Things are trying to get done a little bit. Utility fees are up, which means people are using utilities more. And of course, one of the things that we kind of look like, which affect us, you know, we all know that interest is god-awful. Vanessa has done a great job in trying to invest things where we can get pretty much a bigger bang for the buck, and that was about 29,000 over and above what we thought we were going to get, considering the interest rate. And our penalties for ad valorem for personal and real property were about 98,000, which was a lot less than it was before, which some may indicate that, well, people are starting to have now enough money to pay their taxes and start to get penalties. So I think it's a pretty bright outlook to look forward to 2014, and I thought I'd share that with you today. In addition, Vanessa Dufresne and I went to a GFOA conference, that is a Government Finance Officers Association. It was held in San Francisco, and it's held every year. And we try and go to those that are pretty much near the West Coast, which it cuts down the expense of trying to fly and whatever, we can at least drive to it. And so consequently, we were there for 3 days, and a couple of interesting things came about. One, in the area of Office of Management Budget for Management of Budgets, which is a federal deal for grants. They spent a lot of time talking about improper payments, and a lot of this leads from the New Orleans project when they were trying to build New Orleans back up from that hurricane, and somewhere between $10 to $12 million or $1 billion was spent, and they can't not find out where it went. So on that stand, I mean, we're doing fairly well here. Lieutenant Governor for the state of California, Gavin Nelson, spoke, and he's got a book out. It's called Citizenry, and his entire speech for that hour and a half period of time was about getting citizens involved in the government. And I thought it was a very, very it was a spot on. He was the mayor for San Francisco for quite some years. And in San Francisco, if you've got a smartphone and whatever, they've got applications that you can get on for the city of San Francisco that tells you where the parking lots are, how many cars are in them, where you can, you know, dump your trash if you have to. It just goes to an all myriad of things. And of course, being an hour plus from Silicon Valley doesn't hurt him any. But his emphasis was to get the citizens involved in government, which I think is a great idea. I want to expand on that just a little bit, because we have just gotten through the budget. And sometime in July, depending upon where the members of the Highlands are, where the members of Lockwood are, or the members of Mark Twain are, I will do a PowerPoint presentation on this current budget, what the budget is, what we do to get to that budget process, what things do we do on the revenue side, the expenditure side, and also the major funds. We will go through in detail the major funds to see how all of this stuff comes into a group. So I'll get with each one of you. Whenever you have time in July, I'll come down to your place, and we can certainly go over this PowerPoint, because I think it's important. And before I do that, I'm probably going to have the PowerPoint reviewed by Nicole and Judy, my two resource people, and hopefully it will put to rest a lot of things that some of you may or may not have. It will certainly give you an insight as to how the government budgetary process is evolved. Lastly, there was a course on, and it had to do with audited financial statements. Trying to get the audited financials out and approved by the county commissioners within 120 days. That's a stretch, it really is. But it's not impossible. And where we have, for the most part, had lead times of trying to get all the revenue in and all the expenses in before we close the books, which is usually 60 days, we're going to try and nail that down to 45. We're going to do a lot of things like what they call PBCs, which is called prepared by client, which we take a lot of the accounts that normally are done by the outside auditor, and we will do them internally, therefore cutting the audit costs and also the time and duration of the audit. So from that standpoint, it was a very successful trip to San Francisco. Got to see the Giants, which they won, thank God, and it was quite good for a deal. So,
thank you. Sheriff. You put my girlfriend in jail?
Yes.
If you wanted to be your girlfriend, yes, she's in jail. Two things. One informational for anybody who hasn't heard. One of the sheriff's office volunteers, Chaplain Gary Bowers, passed away last week. His services for him will be on the 29th in Carson City. He's been with us since 2009, and he's going to be quite missed. The other thing, just real quickly, and it's not an action item, it's just for your information right now, something you need to consider. I've had several conversations over the course of the last few months with members of the board, with County Manager Danny Dotson, as far as the Tourism Commission obtaining a liquor license. We have gotten that package, started the background investigation on it, and the best that we can tell right now is that the only way they can be issued a license, because they are not recognized as an independent entity or an independent business, is the license would have to be issued as part of Story County. So between now and the time we bring it back on the agenda for a commission meeting, I guess you gentlemen need to ask yourselves is if you want to be in the alcohol business as a county. Because while I explain this to Denny, and I think we've discussed this on several of the conversations that have taken place, selling a commemorative bottle of wine out of the center down there probably isn't a bad thing, but in the event of one of the wine walks or pub crawls or something, somebody gets drunk, falls down the hill going down Geiger, it'll be you three responsible for it. So something to consider between now and the time that we come back with an agenda item. Alternative is for them to become an entity unto themselves.
Thank you, Jerry. Gary Haynes, fire chief, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. Just a couple brief updates for you. More administratively, we completed pump testing for all of our Type 1 and Type 2 apparatus 2 weeks ago. They all passed with a few amendments to the gallons per minute ratings from the factory. We're finding that they're rated at 1,500. They're passing tests at about 1,000, so they are declining. We completed countywide sand table for all county personnel 2 weeks ago. It was based on a wildland fire in Gold Hill, just above what was the Cabin in the Sky. Kind of ran into the old fire from 1983. I thought it was excellent training. We talked about that at staff this morning. And I think next year we're going to try to work on an earthquake scenario. This was our sixth year in a row of doing wildland type scenarios. I think we have that down pretty well. So next year we'll do the same thing on an earthquake. A couple things. Fire restrictions are going in place effective today by BLM, Forest Service, and Division of Forestry. We received notification of that late last week from Mike Friend, who happens to be in the audience today from Division of Forestry. We'll be tagging on to that effective June 28th, and there'll be a press release sent out to both newspapers. So those will be in place as of June 28th. And Mike mentioned, said thank you for the assistance with his projects, but that's right back at him. He's been great with letting us use some of his motor graders on fuel project reductions, and it's a good relationship, so it's working well between both departments. And the last thing that I want to throw out there is I see a lot of cleaning and fuel reductions going on in Virginia City, and we'll get a press release out to the newspapers and on the website about this too, but we do have a U-Call WeHaul program, and anytime those aren't being used in Mark Twain or the Highlands, Virginia City folks are more than welcome to have those. And I was very surprised this morning that both the trailers in the Highlands right now are at the fire station. I think this is the first time in 6 months that we've actually had one of the trailers, let alone both of them. So those are available, and we'll get that out to the newspaper. If people are clearing branches or sagebrush, I see Angela here, if you could throw that in, Carl, too, maybe. Feel free to take that down to one of the slash piles. Through our fuels grant, we'd be purchasing a chipper here in the next 60, 90 days. We have to go through the competitive bid process, but we'll be able to chip those instead of burn those in the Highlands and in Mark Twain. So if you have fuels that you want to reduce at your properties, feel free to take those to Mark Twain or the Highlands. Just don't drive around on the non-public roads in the Highlands would be my caution, but otherwise you can dump them there. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll grab my seat. Thanks.
Lucky so far. Toby.
Yes. Did you have something for us?
No.
Oh, okay. I knew you were here. I just couldn't see you. Sean, you were blocking or covering. You got anything for us? Did I miss anyone from the out this area? Okay.
I think you're good.
Pat?
I'll be very brief. I think the chief probably would have wanted us to remind ourselves that we only have 12 more days to get your ambulance subscriptions in.
Oh, yeah.
So drop those off at any firehouse, chief.
or?
Preferably the headquarters station here in the city.
But they've got to be in by June 30th. You heard Ro mention, and the reason why Vanessa's not here, and I expect Hugh to probably leave any minute, is the County Fiscal Officers Association annual conference is today, tomorrow, and Thursday, I believe, and that's going on down in Carson City, and that's where all the state officers, both from county government, specifically, get together. We hosted that, I believe, about 5 years ago. It was a great group. And I will close with that because I've got enough on the agenda myself.
Got anything?
No.
Anything? Bill?
I talked about it last time. This is the first time in a year and a half that I haven't had an extern working in my office with me. Kim Kressinger's last day was this week, or last week. So there's just me and Deborah Burns in that office now, so if you go over there and there's a sign on the door and I'm in court and she's delivering stuff, bear with us. It'll be that way for at least until January. So there's just two of us in the office now, so we'll try to do what we can as much as we can, but if you'll all bear with us. One other thing. Along the lines of the people passing, old Judge Reed. I don't know if any of you knew Judge Ed Reed. He was the chief judge when I was U.S. attorney. And he probably one of the finest old gentlemen I ever knew. He was appointed, I think, but he was on the school board there in Reno for years, and Reed High School is named after him. Yeah. I read in the paper that he was served in World War II in the Philippines and in Europe. He was captured, I guess he was a POW. I think he attended UNR and then Harvard Law School. He was a federal judge he was appointed by Carter in 79 and then served up until, he was there probably until the day he died, he was just a really fine old man and a really good judge. And I'm a little disappointed I didn't see more in the press about his passing because he was really a significant contributor to Northern Nevada, in my opinion. He was just a fine old gentleman and a great Nevada. That's all I have.
All righty. Thank you. Okay, moving right along. Next thing is item number 9. We're going to get an update from our lobbyists. So, Bum, Mary, Steve, why don't you all come on up front.
And Mr. Chairman, while they walk up, I might add Maggie was also scheduled to be here so that you could have a full briefing. But again, the CFOA goings-on took her away, and I figured she's been giving us very good written reports throughout the year, as has really everybody else. But we'll hear from Mary, Steve, and Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mary Walker with Walker & Associates, your lobbyist. Basically, I think one of the best things that we do is we have a legislative coalition that Story County is one of four counties. It's Carson City, Douglas County, Lyon County, and Story County. And we started doing that about 14 years ago, and I think Story County has been a part of that in 7 or 8 years. But what it is it's basically when we go to the legislature and we testify, and we're testifying on behalf of four counties instead of a single county. It makes a really big difference, particularly when you're trying to counter the clout that Clark County or Washoe County would normally have because they're larger entities. So it has made a huge difference, this cooperative effort. And I want to thank Pat so much for being such a strong information gatherer for us. The chairman came to just about all of our meetings. Hugh came down and Bum being there, and of course Maggie there constantly. I think we just had a wonderful team, and I really appreciate all the cooperation and direction that we receive. The legislature, we had, there's a 1,123 bills that were introduced this session. Of that, there were 440 that we were monitoring on behalf of our four counties. So it was a lot of work. What happens is we get these bills, the day that they come out, we read them. We've got staff who at night then sends the, we tell our staff where they go, where the bills go, and it will go, if Works deals with Public Works, we'll have it go to the Story County Public Works or Sheriff's Office or Maggie, and of course, everything goes to the county manager. So that by 8 o'clock the next morning when they walk into their offices, they have a whole slew of emails from us on bills. And I really want to thank your staff, and particularly Pat, because it was a tremendous amount of work reading through those bills, getting back to us on, you know, some of the problem areas, what things that we liked, things that we didn't like, and we used that as our direction to move forward. So it really worked out very, very well. Most of the, I believe this is one, was one of the most successful sessions that we have had in many years. Most of the bills that we were supporting became law. Most of the bills that were detrimental to us were either killed or they were amended to alleviate our concerns. Some of the things that, the bills that we were supporting, AB 68 was a consolidated tax study. Over the last interim, I was very heavily involved with that. That's a very important revenue source for all of our counties and also Story County. It's primarily sales tax driven. And the study was to look at how you allocate those taxes amongst local governments in Nevada. And there's about 250-some local governments in Nevada, of which about 170 received the C-tax. So to have this study to look at where that distribution should go amongst these 170 local governments was quite comprehensive. And I'm very, very pleased with the outcome. We kept what was called the rural guarantee. We kept the larger counties from trying to go after the rural counties. And we put in some factors. It's called this mathematical formula, this one plus factor, which stabilizes the formula. So we're very pleased at how that came about. SB 3 was passed. That was our initiative on the 8-cent long-term care bill. And what that does is it caps your Medicaid match long-term care costs. We supported SB 452. 2.5 cents of what you levy each year goes to what's called the Indigent Accident and the Supplemental Fund for medically indigent folks. And what we did is we are changing how that money gets distributed to hospitals. And part of that money now is actually going to go now to NACO to help the counties fund long-term care. So we have a lot of really good revenue avenues for us on long-term care, which we never had before. Of course, SB 272, the Story County and Washoe County Boundary Bill, was passed. One of the ones that I liked was AB 511, that was increased the compensation of state employees by 2.5%. The first, I wouldn't call it a raise, but it's reinstituting what they had previously as far as their wages. They still have furloughs. But at least for this region, it's going to help the economy. We spent a lot of time in defense. There were some pretty detrimental bills to us. One is AB 157, which would restrict water rates that we pass. SB 217, the road projects, was a lot of concern for us. What that bill originally did was basically said that we had to go out to bid for any road projects over $25,000, which is like everything. We were able to amend that so that for the larger rural counties, we could do work in-house as we do today for projects under $100,000. But for the smaller counties like Story County, you can actually go up to $250,000 in projects and be able to do that in-house. There's some reporting mechanisms which already exist in 338 you have to mirror, but we were very pleased with how that worked. There was a AB 423 would have increased the cost of pre-sentence investigations by over $1 million to the counties. We were able to step forward and say, listen, our counties are still struggling. in struggling with the assessments the state passed down to us in 2011, and it was amended to alleviate the monetary impacts on the counties, which we're very happy about. SB 316, Materials Recovery Bill, that bill would have had construction materials would have to go to a material recovery area, and which would have affected your landfill. AB 139 was a mandate of business portal bill. I think everyone agrees that it's great to have one-stop shop for business portal. That's great, but it was an unfunded mandate. And we were able to get some language to alleviate a lot of our concerns, but basically the bill died in the waning days of the legislature. Another one that was of a lot of concern was AB 286, and that came out of Clark County, and it was basically mandating urban emergency medical services at special events in rural Nevada, and it just doesn't work. And it would have killed a lot of these special events that we have in our rural counties. That one was took a tremendous amount of effort. Our rural legislators stuck with us very, very well. And on the Senate side, we were able to basically take the rural counties out of it completely. So we're very happy with that. And there are many other ones. Steve's going to talk about the water and bills and those types of things. In regards to the other good thing that happened in regards to the governor's budget, contrary to what happened in 2011, which we had a lot of costs shifting down to us, this time around, and a lot of it is because of our requests to the governor and to Mike Wilden in particular over the past 2 years, is we need some alleviation from the pass-downs that they passed down to us in 2011. And for Story County, we were able to get those assessments decreased by 7%. So at least it was a step in the right direction. We still have to work on that one. So overall, I think we had a very successful session. I'm very pleased with it. We made a lot of progress. Now what happens is we have the interim legislative session. And what happens over the next 18 months is that those issues that were of primary importance and are very complicated issues, they can't be dealt with in a four-month period. So what happens is now, over the next 18 months, the legislature is going to have a series of studies in regards to a lot of variety of issues. It's going to be on water. It's going to be on property taxes. There's going to be studies on health care. There's going to be study on the funding of community colleges, which is very important to us because what they're talking about is for the counties now to pay for community colleges instead of the state. So what's really important in this 18-month period is to be involved, to weigh in on these types of things, because if you're not involved in the interim session, what happens when the next session, the 2015 session, comes in, the first question they're going to ask you is, don't give us any complaints. Where were you the last 18 months? So our goal this time around is to stay ahead of these things, to whenever there's anything coming up that's detrimental to us, to try and alleviate those things, and if there's certain bills that we need to get through, to get them through. There's other types of normal interim committees. The Legislative Committee for Review and Oversight of the TRPA and Marlette Water System, I know, is very important to you. There's also a Legislative Committee on Child Welfare and Juvenile Justice, another one on health care, another one on public lands, and so forth. There's several of them. But I do want to, you know, just close by saying thank you very much to everybody. It was a wonderful team effort, particularly to Pat Whitten and Hugh Gallagher, and to the chairman, Gary Haynes, the Sheriff's Office, the DA's Office, Public Works. Maggie, as always, we just love working with her, and Bum has been a wonderful addition this year. And just appreciate everybody's hard work, because it really does take a village trying to look at all these issues and how it impacts you, and then get that story out to the legislators. And our legislators did a great job, and they were there supporting us the whole time. We really thank them very, very much also.
Thank you, Mary.
For the record, Steve Walker, I'll be brief. I work on natural resource, water resource legislation, and I think that the most significant bill to Story County was a bill called SB 400. SB 400 was a replacement bill for the net proceeds of mine, the 5 cents that the percent that goes to counties. It's very important to rural counties, and as mining activity increases in Story County, will become important to you. SB 400 is triggered by a constitutional amendment called SJR 15 that will be voted on for the second time in November of 2014. If that passes, and I'll bet a lot of money on that if, then this SB 400 comes into effect, removes the excise taxes payments, but makes the county whole through an excise tax on personal property once the mineral comes out of the ground. The bill started out as a nightmare, particularly for your assessors, assessment people and assessor, because it had to go through these patented and non-patented claims. They had to make an assessment on the mineral value of them. So they had to be able to see underground and basically do an assay. And I don't know too many people are good at that. The water bills this session, there was probably the most significant one. Most of them died. The ones that didn't die were fixed, and I don't think there'll be a lot of effect. There is one that will, the state engineer has moved from being general fund funded to an enterprise fund. And so he has said it costs me this much to do an extension of time, a beneficial use, a change of point of diversion. And then the actual cost will be captured by the applicant, people who are using the services. He's not going to do it all at once. It's going to go up 20% a year until costs are captured. There was water bills that were challenging and they were defeated. There was a stream access bill that basically would allow public access to any stream that could float a 6-inch log. And there was, although it had some merit, it really went way too far as affecting private water rights or private lands. But again, good session. I have to do repeat the thank you to Story County staff. You're always there. You testified well, and it's very easy to work for people that are involved, and we really appreciate working for you. And so with that, basically, Bob, it's all yours.
Thank you, Steve.
Ben Hess, I'll even be briefer for a couple of reasons. They didn't leave me a lot to talk about because they covered everything very thoroughly. And Mike Nevin asked me before I came up here how long I was going to talk for. And usually when somebody tells you that, you spent way too much time up here the previous time, so I'll make it brief. These guys were as good as they get to work with. They're the most prominent and respected lobbyists that are down there in the legislature. And no matter what time of day or night or breakfast or luncheon you go to, they're always usually out of them, both of them at the same time or sometimes separated. They're very well connected, and they absolutely were a godsend to work with this year. There's a lot of things still going on, as Mary alluded to, these interim committees. These are going to be the ones that they're going to try to penalize some of the rules for, as they try to this year on a couple of them. When we go up to bat and start swinging away, they ask, where were you down in Vegas during this committee in August of 2012? But nobody knew about it. So these are the interim committees that we're all going to watch in the meantime to make sure we're prepared for the 2015 legislature as well. And so, as I said, Yvonne worked diligently with us as well, even though she wasn't necessarily on the payroll. And other than that, Mary covered most of it, and what she didn't, Steve did. So I'll take a lesson from Mike and gladly sit down. So unless there's any questions.
You know, I have no questions of you. Your communications was phenomenal during the whole session, but I guess I want to look at the three of you and Maggie and Absentia and just let everybody know that this is the group that really makes it happen. We've had individuals who aren't in the room right now at this moment, you know, get up and question why we even have lobbyists. And it's most important to listen to exactly what's been said today and not only look at what we did succeed at. The sheriff got a great bill passed. But not only look at what did happen, but most importantly, look at what didn't happen. The last session was almost catastrophic to us.
Yep.
And yet we came out of it less scathed because of our investments in our lobbyists and the pros that do this. I want to thank these guys, and Bum started it, but I know by the emails that I get from all four of you that there are many, many 7 o'clock meetings. Now, Saturday sessions seem to be the commonplace, at least in the second half of the, you know, of the session, and I'm guessing there were probably Sunday sessions as well that they just flat didn't get to. So they ought to be commended for the job that they did. Mary and Bum and Steve spoke very well, but it is that powerful four-county approach that I think works every time. We testified on behalf of Mike back there at NDF, on behalf of the Wildland Fire Protection Program. And not only, you know, was I asked to testify along with Chief Haynes, but Mary was right there again talking about the benefits to the four counties. And it just amplifies out as you go through these processes. So you guys did a great job. Thank you.
Yep. I thought it was a great session, too. So thanks for your help. And I'm glad I don't have to go down there again for 2 more years. Because I hate those things.
Don't get them.
I know. We'll have an interim and an emergency. And, yeah, we'll all be back down there. Thanks, guys. I think, what do you guys think? Want to take a little break before we jump into the rest of this?
Take 10 minutes?
Yeah, let's do a 10-minute recess or so.